Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. We've got a number of visitors with us. We extend a very special welcome to you that you took time out of your life to come worship God with us today. If you got an outline that was in the foyer, those passages are listed on that. We're going to look at Psalm 111 this morning. It's a relatively short psalm, 10 verses, but it says an awful lot. It always amazes me, even though as long as I've been in the church, I'm still amazed at the messages God can give us in such a short passage, sometimes in just a verse. But we're going to be looking at Psalm 111 and some similar verses this morning. In verse 1, it starts off, it's a statement and a proclamation. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. That's how this psalm starts out. I will praise God. It reminds me kind of in Deuteronomy. This is not the only place in the Bible where this concept is brought up. In Deuteronomy 6, where it says, the Lord thy God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And here in Psalms 111, it is a statement and a proclamation. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. And that's what we're doing today. I hope everybody that is here present today, that the purpose of why we came together is to praise Him and worship God and to commune with His Son, to do the Lord's Supper as Preston directed our thoughts and minds with the Lord's Supper, to do it in remembrance of Jesus. We will praise the Lord. In Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's one of the, there's so many benefits. We could go so many different directions in a lesson about coming together. But that's one of the benefits we get, not only coming together to praise God as a body, but the benefit we get of encouragement and to stir up love and good works with each other. Verse 2, in Psalm, it said, the works of the Lord are great. Another just black and white statement. Studied by all who have pleasure in them. And it reminds me of in Acts 17:11, where the Bereans were praised, how they studied the scriptures daily. This is a Bible study congregation. And that you're to be commended on that. You're the way I've observed this group of Christians is you're not just one that shows up to check your box. Yep, made it to church. And I did this, took the Lord's Supper. You study the Word of God. And the psalmist says, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. We study those works of the Lord, and it's told over and over and over in the Scriptures. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endures forever. Of course, His work is honorable and glorious. Everything God does is perfect, and His righteousness endures forever. It's not like maybe a relationship of friends that might end. It's not like a political administration that comes to an end. It's not like a job that comes to an end. His righteousness endures forever and ever and ever. First Chronicles, keeping in the Old Testament, 16 verse 34, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." His mercies toward us, not only toward us, but we see God's track record of mercy. That how many times in the Scriptures it displays His mercy. Verse 4, "He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." Personally, I'm glad, because I've needed that grace and compassion every day. And I'm sure we all, if we honestly look in the mirror, agree with that. Romans 1:20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." It doesn't take the responsibility of us, it doesn't take remove the responsibility of us to take the word of God to other people. We still have to do that. But whether people have heard the word of God or not, they've seen God. Just open your eyes and look around. "Since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen." Whether with your eyes or whether you're hearing the word of God from somebody else, God is being proclaimed. "He has given food to those who fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant." God does not break covenants. We may fall short sometimes. God does not break a covenant. In Matthew 6:26, part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" God cares for even the birds. And you know He cares more for us because He feeds the birds. He sent His only begotten Son for us. Big difference. He is full of mercy and compassion. He makes sure that His creation, the birds, are fed. But He sent His Son to save us. Verse 6, "He has declared to His people the power of His works in giving them the heritage of the nations." Mark 16:20, we see the purpose of the word, "And they went out and preached everywhere." They fulfilled that great commission that Jesus gave His apostles. They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. That word is powerful. And God is always seeing his word through. In Exodus 13:21, in the Exodus out of Egypt, it says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night." God is always with us. Hebrews 1:1, in various times, God's used various ways to communicate with us. He's used a pillar of fire, a pillar of a cloud. He's used his voice. He's used a burning bush. He's used his word. But he's never left us. Because, as we saw earlier, he's mindful of his covenant. He does not break them. Verse 7, "The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure." Had to look up verity. I'd never heard the word. And I found out, it's truth. It's the character of counting on truth. You can count on God. You can count on the truth, the justice. It says all his precepts are sure. You know, those of us that are parents, we try to give our kids good advice. Kids, plug your ears. Parents, sometimes we're wrong. Sometimes we give bad advice. Sometimes it doesn't work out the way we said. Not so with God. All his precepts are sure. God is truth. Jesus said in John 14:6 to his disciples, Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There is no other way to be reconciled to God the Father than through Jesus Christ. Verse 8, "They stand fast forever and ever. They are done in truth and righteousness." Of course they are. They are from God. The Apostle Peter got it. "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever." It abides forever and ever. And it's something that it's full of truth. It's full of verity. Use that in a sentence this week. And then have somebody say, "What does that mean? I never heard the word." Verse 9, "He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name." And that's one of the reasons why we come together on the first day of the week, is to, as a body, offer up praise, glory, and honor in his name. Jesus fulfilled that redemption. In John 19:30, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." It is finished. What was finished? The purpose that Jesus had from the beginning was finished. His whole existence was to be the sacrifice for our sins. Sins that we could not come up with a sacrifice worthy. So God sent his own son. And verse 10, the fear of the Lord. Not fear of trembling, I'm scared, I'm scared of you, but a healthy respect. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. I think Daryl was saying earlier about the applying the information we learn. Wisdom and knowledge is great, but if it only stops there, it doesn't fulfill the purpose. We have to apply it. Proverbs 1, we'll end with this verse. Proverbs 1, verses 5 through 7 says, "A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel." Kind of reminds me of the discussion we were having today in our Bible class, seeking wise counsel.
Amen.
To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Amen.
We can't base our lives on anything other than the knowledge of God and of His Word. Because if we're laying any other foundation, the foundation's wrong. This is a relatively short psalm, 10 verses, but it said an awful lot. Take the handouts with you, maybe reread it this week in your off time, and hopefully today will have been a benefit to you. We never like to end our assembly without offering an invitation to give people an opportunity that have not been baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, the opportunity to do so. The opportunity to make that confession before man, like Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, to proclaim that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to be baptized, to be forgiven of our sins. We also offer that opportunity that if you are a Christian and there's sin in your life, to urge you and encourage you to repent. Don't just keep doing the same old stuff. Repent. Change. Ask forgiveness of God. Maybe offer up prayers. The invitation. Whatever your need. If you would come forward, let your needs known, be known while Michael leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.